Good morning and welcome to All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy, delighted to have you with us today for an hour-long conversation on the arts and culture in Columbus. And our program today is in two parts. Later in this broadcast, we will be joined by Russell Lepley of the Flux and Flow Dance Center in Clintonville and dancer teacher Michelle Herman. They'll be here to tell us about what's new dancing in Clintonville and everywhere else. To start us off, I have Stephen Anderson with us, the managing director of CATCO, who is here to tell us about a brand new season, including a visit from Frank Sinatra, sort of. And Erin Hoppe is here. She is the executive director of VSA Ohio, which I will say, I'll spell it out, is Very Special Arts, but it's VSA Ohio. They have a Day of Art for All coming up next weekend, and their programs continue 365, 52 weeks a year. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Erin, it's been a while since you've been here, so I want to start with you. And first of all, bring us up to date a bit on VSA, which is the State Organization for the Arts and Disability in the state of Ohio, which you run. You have an event next weekend, but you have a lot of other things going on.
We do. Thanks again for having me and talking about arts and disability as part of the community. And we are a nonprofit that makes the arts more accessible for people with disabilities, whatever those disabilities are. And we do that in a lot of ways, right? So we have a film festival called Real Abilities Film Festival Columbus that will kick off again in the fall. We have a visual art exhibit that travels around the state that we'll talk a bit about later for our event. We have been working a lot with arts organizations on training them really on how to make their spaces and programs and policies more accessible to people with different disabilities so that everyone is welcome to participate in the arts, whatever that may be. If you want to go to the theater, do you need audio description? If you want to go to a festival, what are we talking about for sensory friendly? All those different types of things.
Sensory friendly is something that you and I discussed a couple of years ago for the first time, and we've both been involved in helping bring that to the area. It's really taken off.
It sure has.
Can you review for us what exactly that is?
Sure. So somebody who has a sensory processing disorder, it might be autism or epilepsy or post-traumatic stress disorder, can really be sort of set off by sensory overload issues. It may be just a sensory experience for us, but something gets too loud or too bright or an unexpected surprise that happens, a smell. And so a lot of theaters and like Columbus Children's Theater, COSI, the Ohio History Connection, lots of those places are really looking at New Albany Symphony.
They have indeed, yes. And a lot of movie theaters as well are doing it.
Movie theaters. Gateway does a sensory friendly, I think, once a month every on Saturdays.
Crosswoods, I know, does
Crosswoods,
it as well.
Crosswoods, some AMC do that as well. And so that's just, it's taking the same experience, the same material. Nobody's asking you to change the art product, right? That is what it is. But how can we turn the lights up a little bit? How can we be flexible with our seating policies? How can we visually cue people to know that a loud crash is going to happen? So it really takes away those elements of surprise and helps people prepare so that they can be comfortable and so that they can stay and enjoy the experience along with everyone else. And it's a really great entry point for people that are new to theater or something like that. They can test it out, see if it works, and then, you know, kind of understand what that experience is and maybe even graduate on to a regular Friday night performance at the Southern Theater.
I've been in the audience for a number of sensory-friendly performances, and there really is no difference to me as an audience member in my experience of the art form, be it film or a concert or a play. I mean, I enjoy it as anybody would, even if I don't have these issues. So really, there's no effect on somebody who doesn't necessarily need them.
Right. It just creates more flexibility. It makes people feel more comfortable. We were just talking about people actually leaving their houses and coming to arts experiences and being, you know, not being worried about crinkling a wrapper when the sign, you know, just as the lights go down. And it allows people to just be comfortable and have a good time and be themselves. And it really doesn't take away from the performance. I think if anything, everybody relaxes and you understand that that performance is for you.
Something that's wonderful that I've also seen related to that is a lot of, I know Columbus Children's Theater did this. They would actually be happy if the audience members came on stage. I mean, became part of the performance. I mean, just did what they needed to do to be there.
That's right. That's right. And lots of things can happen in our lives. The difference for somebody perhaps with autism is they can't, you know, regulate it in a way or step away in a way that we might be able to. And so it allows somebody to have their tics or to say the things that they need to do or to come on stage and be part of the program. But just to know that it's a judgment-free zone, to really take away those barriers of perception and help provide those tools and those opportunities, whether it's a social story to prepare somebody to know what to expect, just to feel welcome. And I think that's a really all arts organizations want to invite the whole community. And these are just some of those concrete items that they're doing to say, yes, come be here. We want you to come and we mean you when we say everyone. And we will do things to make sure that you can comfortably be here.
VSA Ohio is the state organization for arts and disability, but you are nonprofit. You are not a tax supported, or are you?
It's great. We're a nonprofit, right? Okay. We do receive some public funding, but also rely on gifts
on you all out there. Yes. Well, to at least know more about it, I think, did your organization have its roots at the very beginning in the very special arts program that was begun, I think, by Gene Kennedy Smith?
That's correct. Yes. The ambassador founded
at the Kennedy Center.
Yeah, about 40 years ago now. Actually, I think the very first name was President's Committee Arts for the Handicap, then Very Special Arts, and then became VSA as a way to we talk a lot about labels in my world, and what do you say, and how do I say, and I don't want to say the wrong thing. And special is definitely a label, and it's needed. Labels are needed sometimes to get services in schools or in the world as an adult. But just to sort of transcend that and to just be art for artists, whatever you are.
And you are special. Make your bed.
Erin right.
Hoppe is the executive director of VSA Ohio. She's going to tell us a bit later about A Day for Arts for All. Speaking of A Day for Arts for All and A Life for Arts for All, Stephen Anderson is here, the managing director of CATCO, whose life in the theater in and out of Columbus has gone back a number of years. I'm not going to be rude, but
thank you.
I commented as you came in, you're looking especially youthful these days.
You've
got a whole new thing going on here, and it's suiting you. First of all, I have to ask you about Life Sucks.
Which opens tonight.
Yes, what is Life Sucks at CATCO?
If you can imagine that Woody Allen was telling the story of Uncle Vanya, that's pretty close to what it is. It's by the end you say, you know, everyone thinks life sucks, but at the end this sort of decision is that it doesn't suck so much. That, you know, it's sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. We live, we love, and we long for more.
So that's a new play. Is it a new play?
It is a fairly new play, yes. It's written by Aaron Posner, who wrote I'm not going to say the word, but the stupid word begins with an F, ING bird, which is his take on the seagull. So, I came right up to the line on that one, didn't I?
Very good. I took a breath, but that's fine. He didn't say it, but we are saying life sucks. Sorry, but that's the title of the play.
Yes, there's a period at the end of it, too.
Life sucks, period. It is a different take on a suggestion, perhaps, of Chekhov, shall we say.
Yeah.
But you don't have to know Chekhov to come
not at all.
Scream
not at
with
all.
Laughter.
Yeah, no. In fact, one of the things that appealed to me about it is I'm not a huge Chekhov fan. And on my 30th birthday, I gave myself the present of being able to say in public, I don't much care for Chekhov. So it is not a play just for people who like Chekhov. Its structure is in four acts, as Uncle Vanya was, and the characters are the same, but they have a very modern take on the Chekhovian issues.
And I noticed that our own Mary Trapp Gray is in it. Mary ran a gallery downtown for many, many years. And has had a wonderful career, and her husband Dan runs the theater at OSU.
Yeah, he also designed the set for
this. I bet he did.
Yeah. So actually, that happened before Mary was cast. So she went right from retirement into being on the stage again.
Speaking of retirement, you have announced yours, which is not impending. It's a ways away.
Yeah, really. I do everything long term.
But it may be one reason why you look so good. I don't know. but you still have a lot to do because you've announced a new season, which you're going to be very. Which you're doing next
day. Yes. Yeah.
2019-2020 that begins with My Way, which is all about Frank Sinatra.
Right, and the music of Frank Sinatra. It's four people in a musical review, and it will be in the Intimate Studio 3, which only seats about 75 people at tables, and so it'll be a very club kind of feeling. And then we move on to Sam Art Williams' Home, which was a Tony nominee in 1978.
Yeah, but go back to Frank. Are we going to see JFK and Marilyn and
No, we're not going to see them. This is a very much a tribute to the music.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, ask your parents.
Yeah, really? Or your grandparents.
Your grandparents, yeah. So this is an intimate, sort of a cabaret kind of setting?
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Very much so.
So you're going to be you're hiring four singers?
There will be four singers in it.
Wonderful.
And it will begin in August when, you know, it used to be we didn't program in the summertime because people wanted to be outside. Well,
it's too
honestly
hot.
Too beastly hot outside. And so people are looking for a nice, cool place, and we have it.
Lovely air-conditioned area in the Rice Center. Mm-hmm. So by all means, so we'll look forward to that. You're going to tell us more about the new season. I have to ask you this because it's a word that's entered my vocabulary, the R word, retirement. So, how do you prepare yourself to retire?
Well, you start thinking about what other things are important to you or what other things have been important to you in the past. And children and families have always been really important to me.
Yes.
So I'll continue to do work with children and families. I've been researching some organizations that are helping with families that are separated at the border. And that has a lot of appeal to me. And 2020 will be a presidential year, and I intend to not run. I'm not. You gave me that look.
Why not? At this point,
really, at this point, I'm the only one who isn't running.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to find a candidate and really give it my all, and I'm looking forward to that. So, and then there's a fair amount of travel involved too.
And your summer camp. Tell me about your summer camp.
Because you just
announced that registration is about to open.
Summer. Yeah. No. It's they are open.
They're open.
And
so
there,
hurry up.
You're right. There are camps all over town. Catco as Kids has grown by leaps and bounds under the direction of Joe Bishara. Go to the website and get more information about that.
Joe Bishara has a baby. He's busy, but still he's out there working. To run these camps. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend. We're talking with Steven Anderson, the managing producer of Catco, and Aaron Hoppe, who is the executive director of VSA Ohio, and we will be right back.
In WOSU Public Media's newest podcast series, Rivet, young people share their unique pathways to professional success. Listen to This American Graduate Project. Find Rivet now in WOSU's mobile app or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back, All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy talking with Aaron Hoppe from VSA Ohio and Steven Anderson, the managing producer of Catco. Later in the broadcast, we'll be joined by Russell Lepley from the Flux and Flow Dance Studio in Clintonville, along with dancer, teacher, and Yenta Michelle Herman. She will be here as well. We've been talking about a Day of Art for All from VSA. Aaron Hoppe, tell me about that.
Day of Arts for All is a really fun day that celebrates creativity and community and artists and being together. It is almost a full day. It's next Saturday, March 30th at the Westerville Community Center. You will be our MC for the event. We're pretty excited. Then I don't have to do it. So that's always nice. Day of Arts is a festival. It's a celebration. It's free. It starts at 11 o'clock with a 90-minute art-making challenge. So three artists will be there, and they have 90 minutes to paint, interpret a live model. We have a model with a disability that will be there. It's inspired by a TV show out of the UK called Landscape Artists of the Year. We're doing it a little bit more on a mini scale, but our organization is all about adaptation and inclusion. And, you know, an artist can take 9 weeks, 9 months, 9 years to finish a piece of art, but how can you do it in 90 minutes? What will you do? Will you change your style, your tactic? You know, so you can come and watch live as that happens. And then we have an opening ceremony and awards for the 23rd annual Accessible Expressions Ohio, which is a visual art exhibit by which has 70 artists of all ages, all experience levels, all types of disabilities from all across Ohio. So they come together, they get awards, we have cash prizes, there's People's Choice, Best in Show, all of that. We'll also have performances by a group coming down from Cleveland, Sign Stage, which is a deaf theater group that uses education and performance to explore the value of cultural connections between deaf and hearing communities. We'll have three short performances by them. And it's really a great time for the artists to get together and to be with each other and to be recognized for their talents. And often, you know, honestly, in schools and in life, people with disabilities, you know, we expect things and we have, you know, expectations, but they're not always celebrated in the ways that others are. And this is really an opportunity to celebrate. I mean, it's really one of the most diverse art shows I ever see. We've got fiber art, wood burning, clay sculptures, all different types of visual arts. And it's really talented people whose art is on display.
And this is a week from tomorrow.
It's a week from tomorrow.
It's beginning at 11 a.m.
That's right.
In Westerville. Where in Westerville?
It's at the Westerville Community Center. They've been our partner for 11 years. They're an amazing space.
They are an amazing space.
They are, and they're growing. So construction note, enter on Cleveland Avenue.
And anybody can come?
Anybody can come. We would welcome you. We're going to do also some small community conversations inspired by the Columbus Foundation's Big Table. We want people to talk to us and tell us what matters for them in terms of inclusion and accessibility in the arts, and what can VSA Ohio do? So we hope people have some really rich conversations and get to know each other.
So if you're somebody with a concern about making life really wonderfully accessible for somebody who might have some difficulty, this sounds like a day for you to be there. It is free. It is open to anybody who wants to come. It starts at 11 o'clock next Saturday at the Westerville Community Center. This is VSA Ohio. What's your website? VSA.org?
VSAO.org.
VSAO, Very Special Arts Ohio. VSAO.org will give you all the information. Check it out. Stephen Anderson, now, let's review. Life Sucks opens tonight.
This evening at the Rife Center.
Yes.
8 o'clock.
Which is the name of a play, so don't be calling me up on the phone saying I don't invent these titles, you do. Mm-hmm. So
no, I just find them.
And it's a comedy.
It's a very, very funny play.
Off the wall comedy. And then next year, in addition to My Way with Frank Sinatra's music, you have Home. Tell me about Home. You began to talk about that a little bit.
Home was a Tony nominee in 1978, pre-August Wilson. This is a story of an African-American man in South Carolina and his journey to find both spiritual home and physical home. And it's a three-person show. A man and the two women play all the other roles. And it's absolutely poetic and beautiful some of the best text I've ever read.
Who is the author?
Sam Art Williams. Mm-hmm. And then I noticed this morning, I was listening to NPR as I came in, of course, WOSU FM. There's a new movie out called White Crow about Nureyev. And we're doing a play called Nureyev's Eyes, which is a new play about the relationship between Jamie Wyeth, the painter, and Nureyev. And Jamie Wyeth attempted to create art about Nureyev.
Rudolf Nureyev, the great ballet dancer.
The ballet dancer, defector from Soviet Russia. And they had a friendship, but they were both deeply frustrated by the fact that Wyeth could not seem to get him in motion. And so there's a beautiful climax, speaking of the dancers that are coming, in which Nureyev tries to teach Wyeth to dance so that he'll understand how a dancer moves. And it's absolutely exquisite. It's a new play.
That'd be fascinating to cast. cast.
Yeah.
I can think of some local people that might be wonderful as Nuri and terrific. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, please put answers in the hat because I'm looking for that one.
And how about Matilda the Musical, Roald Dahl?
Isn't that wonderful? Which is a collaboration between Katko's Kids and the Columbus Children's Theater. So I'm very excited about that. That will be in the Shedd Theater.
Remind us, the Shedd Theater?
The Shedd Theater at the Columbus Performing Arts Center on Franklin Avenue.
Franklin, of course.
There are more than one Shedd Theater. It's true. There's one at CSG where Haroon will be opening in a few weeks. We have things opening all the time.
You do. The Rife Center performances are wonderful, but that's just part of the equation. Mm-hmm. It seems like you're everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and we also manage the Columbus Performing Arts Center, and that's where Katko's Kids performs, and they'll be doing Seussical this weekend, Seussical Junior.
And describe the summer camp a little bit more. Okay. I know that's Joe Bishara's.
Right. They're theme related, and then there are also some that culminate in a production. There'll be one in New Albany that will culminate in a performance. So it's all about both kids who aspire to careers in the theater, to kids who just want to have a theatrical experience and feel dramatic or creative.
Is it a week? Is it 2 weeks?
It can be a week. It can be 2 weeks. It can be 4 weeks.
Really? Four mm-hmm. weeks?
And yeah. That's the performance based.
These are day camps in the summer under Katko's aegis where you want to come and make theater, you come and make theater.
And
whatever it happens to be is what you get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can find more at katko.org.
Okay. And related to that, Aaron, I wanted to ask you, you alluded to film festivals and all kinds of different things that VSA produces. Is this art for a special needs audience or made by a special needs audience or both or neither? Or help me out with that a little bit.
I would say it's art for all, broadly. So it's art that is made by people with different disabilities.
Okay.
We have artists with vision loss, who have developmental disabilities, who might use a wheelchair, who might be on the autism spectrum. They're creating all different kinds of art. And the great thing about this exhibit, 70 pieces, is that after it's at the Westfield Community Center, it will travel all over the state. We go to the Beck Center in Lakewood. We go to Jupiter Studios in Alliance. We'll go to next after this is Wild Goose Creative and the City of Upper Arlington. We'll also be at the new Bridge Gallery at 400 West Rich. And the cool thing about this show is the prices are a great price point. So if you want to expand your collection, this is a great entry art. And all of the funds for is sold goes back to the artist. So it's sort of a professional development step for them as well. It might be their first time exhibiting. It might be their first time selling a piece of artwork. But it really helps them believe that, you know, you can make a career or have that be part of your life as well. So everybody can enjoy the art.
I'm trying to think of a way to ask you this. The level of activity, I guess, among the people making art who are people on the disability spectrum. I'm having trouble with the language, I have to say. I'm having a little trouble. Special needs, I'm not sure really what we do these days about that. The H word I don't want to say anymore. I think that's pretty much out the window, handicap, because I don't like to think of people as being disadvantaged. But they function differently than some other people do.
Right. So I would say that disability is very personal. And what you as somebody, if you have a disability, you are entitled to describe, much like any other minority, you can describe yourself however you want. For us, when we do trainings, when we talk about our constituents, it's people first. So if someone uses a wheelchair, they're not wheelchair bound. Somebody has vision loss. They're not, visually impaired. I mean, that you could talk about disabled, disability. It is a tough con. We could be here for an hour talking about that as well. And we probably wouldn't find something that everybody agrees with. But we always like to talk. I mean, if I could just call you Chris, that would be great, right? And I don't really have to describe you as anything else. But then we can talk about, maybe Chris uses a wheelchair, so we need to make sure this is a wheelchair accessible space. Or maybe Chris can't see, he has different things with his eyes. So how can we talk about audio description, or is it Braille, or is it actually Braille is less popular these days because we've got these fancy technologies? They're having Braille competitions, last I heard, to try to keep that art alive. I kind of forget your question about
language.
Yeah. So, you know, for the general community, you know, we want to talk about people first. We want to talk about.
Well, Aaron, isn't it? It's about access. And that, right. That's a word that we're using in so many different ways.
Because
what do I need to do to make myself available and my organization available to you?
Absolutely.
On a personal level. Does it have to do with financial resources? Does it have to do with how you get there, transportation, or with right. how you perceive it?
Right. Accessibility is huge and broad. A lot of arts organizations right now are talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And we want to remind people that disability is part of that. Disability affects 1 in 5 people. If you think about how they're related to other people, disability affects probably most people that you know in one way or another. And so how can I bring someone with me? Is it a financial thing? Is it getting in the door? Is it access to the artistic product? But it is. It is an access and it's an inclusion. And we want to – a lot of the times the adaptations that you make for a disability is going to benefit everyone.
One thing that's impressing me about both of your organizations and really industry-wide is that you are not waiting for people to find you. You're going out and looking for them, whoever they – and that's aside from general marketing. It's something different and a little more specialized. And I see the effort going on really everywhere from the Columbus Symphony to VSA to CATCO to the opera. I mean, certainly to the ballet. People are really – you're out there looking for – people who really could benefit from experiencing what you do, but you're making the effort to go out and get them, mm-hmm. and I think that's important, and I think that's something relatively recent, unless I'm wrong.
No, I think it's been evolving to that point. It used to be we sold ourselves like widgets, you know, and now it's really about what these are the resources we have to share with you, and which of these work for you, and all of them are not going to be something you're interested in. And so how can we help you identify that which you're going to really enjoy and it is going to create a community that you can sit, and it is different than sitting in your living room in your underwear watching
a streamed video. Let's review that a little bit, because that's a conversation that I'm always fascinated by is that how we get people off the couch where you can sit in your underwear and you can watch and listen to anything. Alexa, play this, that, and she does. Mm-hmm. It does, you know, and you don't have to go anywhere. I'm old enough to tell you that nothing compares with the live experience, mm-hmm. that nothing ever compares with sitting in a hall or a theater and with other people and experiencing something in real time together where you can't silence, fast forward, or whatever.
Right. Well, and you can watch whatever symphony you want to on streamed right. media. It doesn't have the same feeling that you can feel it resonate within your vibration.
It's apples, oranges. They're both wonderful, but they are very, very different. And apples might be a little better when you go live. I just think that is that something that's challenging each of your organizations.
It certainly does us. We continue to try to figure out how we are relevant to people and that they're what things they need or are missing. And community is the thing that we're missing the most. No matter how many times you enter on Facebook what you ate for breakfast, you know, it's not the same as community.
He looks at me when he says that.
No. Because I was talking to you. It's like, you know, I mean, it's that we the more we reach out in that way and find out more things about each other, the more hunger we have for the real human interaction.
Stephen, you and I are close in age, so we're not as young by any stretch as Aaron Harvey is. And you've been doing what you've been doing for a long time, and me too. But you've been at VSA for 11 years. That's a long career. I'm not patronizing you when I say for your age group, that's a long career. That's a wonderful career. So obviously the organization speaks to you, and you certainly speak for it. How has VSA changed in 11 years, and how has it changed you?
VSA has certainly changed the way that I look at the world, the way that I interact with people, the way that I go to the movies and think about the accessibility there, the way that I maybe pause before yelling at somebody who's cut me off or something, because you never know where people are coming from. You never know what happened to them that day. And in a world where we are divided here, disagree about this there, if you believe, like I do, that the arts are a great equalizer, that the arts can build bridges and the arts bring people together and allow you to have conversations that are comfortable or maybe uncomfortable. And I think there's value in putting yourself in a slightly uncomfortable position, because if we just stay in our boxes where we're happy and comfortable, there's less room to grow. And so coming out to the studio, to coming out to the event and the performance and talking and being part, we do this with our film festival, is there's always some kind of discussion about what has happened on screen or about the people behind the scenes, because it's more than just that. It's all about the people.
Remember, right? The Horse Boy? That was a great thing that you did that as well. The Day for Arts for All is next Saturday. You also are, by definition, every day is a Day for Arts for All for VSA Ohio. But it's next Saturday at the Westerville Community Center beginning at 11 o'clock. And again, if you have any interest at all in arts accessibility, you need to come next Saturday. And it's not going to be all day, but it's going to be a real quality presentation. Stephen Anderson, we know that Life Sucks opens tonight at the Rife Center, and you are looking forward to a summer, and you're bringing Frank Sinatra back to Columbus with My Way. We also have Home, and among other things, Matilda the musical, the Roald Dahl musical. Give us a few last words until you come back next time to visit with us.
Right. And we will close our season with Holmes and Watson, which is a new Sherlock Holmes play, and that promises to be very fun. And in it, Sherlock Holmes is supposed to have died, but then three men come saying that they're Sherlock Holmes, and Watson has to determine which one is
which one it is. Okay.
So it's a Jeffrey Hatcher play.
Just to keep us more confused, Stephen Anderson, thank you so much. Good luck tonight.
Thank you.
Kisses on your opening. Congratulations for that. Aaron Hoppe, thank you very much. VSAO.org.
That's right.
CATCO.org.
That's right.
Are the two websites. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend. We'll be back in 1 minute with Flux and Flow. Don't go away. We are back, continuing today's All Sides Weekend, talking about the arts and culture in Central Ohio. I'm Christopher Purdy. Two very special people, including one of my favorites, even though she won't believe it, is visiting with us today. Michelle Herman is a dancer and a company member of Flux Flow, and she's also the professor of creative writing at The Ohio State University and acclaimed author, and that wonderful, much-loved Irish term, yenta, that means beloved. That's Michelle Herman, beloved. Thank you for being here today.
I'm glad to be here.
And you have brought with you Russell Lepley, who was the co-founder of Flux Flow Dance Project. I hope I said that correctly.
Yes.
Russell Lepley, what is Flux Flow Dance Project?
It's a contemporary dance company based out of Flux and Flow Dance and Movement Center, which is an adult-focused dance studio in Clintonville. We are, on one side, educating adults about dance and welcoming them to feel that they are artists and able to approach dance at any age with any ability. We are also a small group of young professional dancers who are creating work. So this performance is a collaboration between our adult clients and community members and the company of professionals.
How long have you been there?
We've been in Clintonville for a year and a half.
You are at Crestview and Calumet, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, what used to be the Crestview Market.
Yes.
Correct.
Is now, and I've been through, it's a wonderful dance facility. It's
Thank
terrific.
You.
And I live in the neighborhood, so I drive by there a lot or walk by there, and the lights are always on. There's always something going on.
I'm
there.
Usually there,
yes,
dancing.
Yes. Michelle Herman, you are a member of the Harmony Project. You are a tenured faculty at The Ohio State University. You have, I don't know how many books in print, and probably more coming. You are a very busy woman, and now you are also a dancer and working with Flux Flow. How did you get involved? I know it's kind of close to where you are. How did you get involved?
It's literally steps from my home. So,
but not everybody steps from their home and becomes a dancer. So.
I had no intention of doing that. You know, it opened on the corner where the co-op had been for so long, and I had no excuse not to go and try it out. Like everyone else, I'd been trying for years to find some sort of livable exercise plan. And so I wandered over and took a ballet class with Filippo Pellacci, who is Russell's husband. And I like to say that it was like getting married after a great first date because the class was so fantastic. I was so in love with the experience that before I left the studio, I actually signed up for a monthly unlimited class pass that would automatically renew each month.
But you had you ever in your life done this kind of dancing before?
As a small, very little girl, I did modern dance in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn. And then I hadn't danced again in, 50 years. And I took some classes at a place that doesn't exist anymore called Ballet for Everybody with the wonderful Christina Providence. And when that stopped, that was the end of that. I did that once a week for a few months. And so this was really pretty new to me. And I fell in love with doing ballet. I fell in love with Filippo. Everyone who meets Filippo falls in love with him.
Not with Russell.
In love with Russell, too. But Filippo is
Italian. So first of
he's
got it going on.
He's
right.
Very beautiful and excessively charming and very funny. But I fell in love with all of it. And there wasn't a community yet because the studio had just opened.
There is now, though.
But and you could even feel the seeds of it start. That first class, there's not supposed to be laughter in ballet. We were laughing a lot. And now I take 5 ballet classes a week. I'm at the studio almost every day. I'm at the studio every day that it's open. And Russell... So last summer, Russell decided to make a piece on his Devoted Adult Beginners, to remake a piece that he had originally choreographed for some Ballet Met dancers and Filippo. And he did it to us. It was quite an experience.
Red?
No, that piece was called, was it called This Side of the Blue?
I think it was The Things That I Knew.
The Things That I Knew. Yeah. We performed it to a song called This Side of the Blue. And it was an amazing experience for the 10 of us who did it. And we started immediately harassing him to do something else. And so now he's doing this other thing he can tell you about.
What is inflammatory wit?
Writ.
Wit.
So it's...
I said that. Say it properly, then, for us.
Inflammatory writ is based off of a Joanna Newsom song, loosely, which is speaking about writer's block and kind of this will to make a piece of art that's fantastic but always kind of coming up short, and kind of celebrating the pieces of paper that you've thrown away and letting them live their life. So we've had 19 adults commit to a 3-month process. So the piece itself will be about 20 minutes long, maybe a little longer. Still working that out.
But the people dancing for you are not necessarily professional dancers.
No. So
they're your students?
For this these are all students from our space for this particular piece. The whole evening will be in two parts. So we'll have one part that's with our students and then one part with the 4-member professional company. So we'll find a way to kind of blend the two pieces together. But Inflammatory Writ is kind of a celebration of our clients and that everyone can be an artist, and also embracing all of the imperfections that we have and kind of taking light of it and accepting it and letting whatever version of ourself is there be out and interact with the world.
Is this something how long have you been working on this? Is this part of what you're doing when you go there to...
That's in addition to the classes.
Oh, I know. Addition, yeah. Because
so on Saturdays, I'm at the studio for 6 hours. I would just like to say that I just turned 64, and I'm very proud of myself. This piece, Inflammatory Writ, that Russell has created for us is a very meta experience, especially for me, because it's about the lyrics of the song are about literary ambition and failure. So, you know, the thing I'm doing to get away from my work is actually about something I think about.
What do you know about literary failure? You don't know much about failure.
We'll talk about that off air.
Okay.
but also the 19 of us involved in it are obviously there's a great amount of ambition involved in doing this. We're putting a lot of time and energy in addition to the rehearsals we do at the studio. Most of us are also practicing every day at home to make sure that we can remember the choreography, because it's not easy. There are theatrical parts of it. Let me put in a plug here now for the fact that tomorrow at 4:30 at Flux and Flow Movement Center at 200 Crestview, there's going to be an open rehearsal that's free if you want to see what we're talking about.
I'm coming, but I'm not going to dance.
You're not allowed to dance.
Good.
You can only watch. and then the performance itself, which, as Russell says, will be us, the adult beginners, and also Flux Flow Dance Project. And they're amazing. It's Russell and Filippo and two other dancers.
That is the professional company,
yeah.
correct? And how does that work in conjunction with the studio? Do you have a separate season? Do you work at a different theater?
At this point, it's very much aligned with the space. So we're all instructors in the space, and we make projects together when we can schedule it in a way that makes sense to balance between the two. But we've had, for instance, in December, we had a performance that was a full evening length self-produced work with the four of us, and that was very much focused on just the project.
That was
that
professional
time.
Dance,
yeah.
Right?
Correct.
That was
Red Patience.
Right.
Yes.
And that was, you did that down on Main Street, is that correct?
Correct.
The
Fisher
Dance
Theater.
Right, yeah. That's where the Columbus Dance Theater was working.
Yes.
That's right. So that's set up.
Which is
that.
Where this next project is happening, to April 12th and 13th, three performances, one Friday, two Saturday, of us doing Inflammatory Writ. And them doing their thing, which is amazing.
How did you choose Inflammatory Writ? How did that?
So I worked professionally as a dancer in Germany for 5 years. That was where I moved back to Columbus from. I'm from Columbus originally, but I was working in Europe. And while there, I got an opportunity to choreograph on the company. And actually, this piece is a reworking of that. So it's not the same choreography. I've modified the movements to accommodate the people I'm working with now. But a lot of the scenes and the general concept and idea felt like a really good fit for the characters and personalities that we had in our community. Because we have – the great thing about our community is it's filled with artists and it's filled with opinionated people with big personalities, and there's space in the work to play with that and let those personalities interact.
How do you make a because when you have 19 people who are not professional dancers, who are like you, who come because they wanted to
no
do
one's like me, Christopher.
There's no one like you, but you come in and you wanted to do something like this on top of everything else you do. How do you have to have that coalesce into one unit, or do you allow for 19 different body types and personalities who are not professional dancers?
Yes. So we definitely allow for the individuality. A lot of my choreography is very detail-oriented. So we'll put a specific movement on each note of the melody line for one scene of the piece. And I'm less concerned about the exact shape the body is making and more concerned that the specific body part is moving on the specified note. And so by having
that's
the
hard though, if you don't, you, yeah. That must have been very hard to learn.
I can't even begin to tell you how hard it is for people like us. And I think one of the things that we all learned working on the project last summer was that A, it was going to take us a lot longer than it took professional dancers to learn this choreography. And B, that we could do it. That if we just really concentrated
6 hours a day sometimes.
Well, I mean, we never rehearse for 6 hours a day. I don't want to scare anybody. I'm there for 6 hours because I'm insane. I'm there for two different classes and then the 3-hour rehearsal. It's only 3 hours of rehearsal. Yeah. But getting those shapes at the right moments is a challenge. But look, it's a self-selected group. The 19 of us really want to be able to do that. And we will do it. Oh, in fact, most of the time we're begging Russell to let us do it again once more, five times more, 10 times more, and he's ready to move on to doing something else.
But I think it's wonderful if you're, shall we say, not 22, and you're learning something new that you may have admired from afar as an audience member for years, but you've never actually thought you could actually do it.
Right.
And so, yeah, I'd want to keep doing it as well, yeah. Especially if you have a professional sort of saying, no, you have to
and,
do it this
and
way.
And honestly, not just a professional, and this is what I experienced early on when I started with the ballet classes, but I can't stress enough how unusual Russell and Filippo are as dance teachers, because they are simultaneously so encouraging and so generous and so patient and so kind and incredibly rigorous. And as a, you know, a long-term teacher myself.
But that describes you with your students. It does, in a way, with your students.
You know, maybe. I hope that's true. I hope it's true.
I was your student. It is true.
Okay. Well, there you go. I mean, I have had the voice teacher, Stephanie Henkel, in town is like that also.
She is, yeah.
I haven't encountered a lot of teachers in my life who, you know, I've found people who were encouraging and supportive and people who were rigorous. But I mean, there has never – I mean, I now take ballet at every level that the studio offers, and I flounder and flail at the intermediate level. But I never feel humiliated. It's the most encouraging atmosphere possible, and that gets amped up during this rehearsal process because – sometimes what we're doing is extremely difficult to do, and I have never seen Russell lose his patience with us, which seems like a miracle.
That's because he and Filippo love their art form so much. That's probably why. Yeah. That's because it defines their lives.
And because the students and the people participating are so intent on getting there. And it's never a question of motivating. It's just a question of helping facilitate them get to the goal that they want to get to.
So. We have a few minutes left, and I just want – a lot of us have probably walked by what was the Crestview Co-op Market, and for the last year and a half has been the Flux Flow Dance Studio, and wondered what it is and peeked in the glass door and wanted to see what's going on. So review for us exactly what the center is, what kind of classes you offer, what's the range of what goes on.
So we are a movement space that is primarily for adults. It works sort of like a yoga studio where you can drop in classes, a 10-class pass, a monthly pass. We offer ballet and contemporary dance. That was our focus professionally, but we also have hip-hop at the studio, as well as yoga, as well as jazz. So we have some other options in there as well. We do have some youth classes, generally for youth under 12, contemporary and ballet. And the space is really about trying to connect with yourself and your body, but also identify yourself as an artist. So it's consequently, there is a fitness element to it of
sure.
Doing a physical practice, but we look at it more holistically than that.
As I say, I've walked by plenty of times, and it's always lit up and busy no matter the time of day. Are you surprised at the wonderful response Flux and Flow has had, or is it what you expected?
It's what we hoped for.
Yeah.
So I'm
more
really...
More is always more, and more is always better. Right? I mean, you know.
Well,
sure. We're really grateful. The community welcomed us very quickly, and we felt at home immediately. We live above the business.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, above the shop, yeah.
So it's really beautiful to be serving the community we live in.
So you've really taken over that whole facility there.
Well, there's Bare Roots Floral, who are underneath our apartment.
Right. That's
so there is also, and there, Kirsten, who runs that, is wonderful.
Yeah. I know Jimmy Arante, who was the primo divo of Ballet Met for a long time, was the one who called me and said, I want you to keep your eye on this space and these two guys. And he was the one, I think before you even, they said, they're about to do something wonderful, and a year and a half later, you are.
That's wonderful.
And that's terrific. Review to Michelle Herman tomorrow. What happens?
Tomorrow, there is an open rehearsal of Inflammatory Writ, the 19 of us dancing in public together for the first time between 4:30 and 5:30 at the space.
Anybody can come?
Anybody can come. And while you're there, you have the bonus of seeing the fantastic art hanging. There's also a gallery.
There is
in
a gallery.
The anteroom outside the studio.
And I will say this because I don't want you to, that the artist is Glenn Holland, who you have a relationship with. You've been married to him for I don't know.
A long time.
It's wonderful, very creative, very eclectic art. You're also kind of an empty nester because we have an actress daughter. Don't start crying.
I'm not crying. We have an experimental theater maker and divisor daughter in New York City.
She's doing the New York life.
Who's Romeo and Juliet is about to open. Right after my opening, I fly to New York for hers.
And that'll be our next show. Michelle Herman, thank you so much for coming in. Michelle is professor of English creative writing at The Ohio State University. In her spare time, she dances ballet and sings with the Harmony Project and writes wonderful books. Russell Lepley is the co-founder and director of Flux Flow Dance Project, which is in Clintonville at 200 Crestview. Anil Calumet, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Come back next time. Bring Filippo. We'll talk about that. And everybody come out at 4:30 tomorrow, right?
Yes.
I'm Christopher Purdy, All Sides Weekend. If I can dance, so can you. Thank you for joining us.